نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. السورة was recited in Malaika 2000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And then Surah Yasin was read to the Malaika also 2000 years before the creation of this earth. The Malaika's response was, blessed will be those people to whom these surahs will be revealed. Surah Taha and Surah Yasin. And blessed are those people whose hearts will contain these two surahs. And blessed are those tongues that will recite these two surahs. So the least a Muslim can do, that he starts off his day with some recitation of the Quran Sharif. And if you can't do much, at least Surah Yasin, something to bond and to attach himself to the recitation of the Quran Sharif. The surah largely discusses the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And the gospel itself impresses upon the people of the book that we'll send into them your brethren. We'll send to them your brother, and she'll be like unto the prophet that was sent to you. It means there'll be a lot of similarities between our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and he is your brethren because both ancestry is the same. Both end up with Ibrahim alayhi salam, one then branching off from Ishaq and the other from Ismail alayhi salam. So on account of the similarities, you will see the surah, or you will see the story of Musa alayhi salam repeated approximately 28 times in the Quran Sharif, making us understand that the Quran Sharif is not just for your entertainment and to show you something that is strange and unique. No. It is for you to draw out important lessons, and therefore those lessons are being repeated 28 times in the Quran Sharif. So it was a cold winter's night. Musa alayhi salam had been serving his old aged father-in-law. Nobody else should take care of the household. So he offered to look after, and he married his daughter and took care of all the business, whatever business chores, she took care of all that. And after serving 10 years, then he takes permission from his father-in-law that I need to go and see my mother and my sister and my brother. So he took leave and he proceeded. In the meanwhile, the wife is in the last final stages of her pregnancy. It's cold and it's at night, and Musa alayhi salam, apprehending some trouble, he took an alternate route to Egypt. And meanwhile he lost the way. So from a distance he sees a fire and he says to his wife, "Umkusu inni anastu nara." You hold on here. I see a fire. Maybe you can bring a firebrand to keep you warm because you are about delivering. And maybe perhaps Ajidu al-Nari Huda, we've lost the road. Fire normally signifies the presence of some human being. So we can find someone that can direct us to the road as well. But now, every word of the Quran Sharif has got a lesson, has got a moral, right? So he says to his wife that you stay and I will go. Impressing upon us that the wife, the woman must be at home and the men must do the work. But isn't that man coward where he is insisting on the wife also, or the woman also, to go and work? Now she has to look at the household chores, and she has to generate an income, so it's a double burden. So there's a real coward person who is encouraging women to go and study as well, under any other pretext, like, you know, something can happen, you have to be able to stand on your feet. Woman is not a new creation, it was there from Adam alayhi salam's time, and they fended well, remaining in the house for the last 1300 years. It was just the last century that this type of a madness had overtaken mankind. When man became lazy, he said, no, you need to earn and we'll also earn. But Musa alayhi salam teaches us, and he sets the record straight, that you remain here, I will go and do the investigation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, when he shared out and distributed the duties between Ali and his respected daughter Fatima, so Ali, you will look after the chores outside the house, and within the house, O Fatima, you are the Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahl al-Jannah, you are the queen of the woman of Jannah, but all the household works you will listen to. Now, to make statements like this, that this is wasting a treasure of human resources, is alluding that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nauzubillah, didn't know what he was doing. Because she is the queen of the woman of Jannah, so what an intelligent person she must have been. What a great personality she must have been. But yet Rasulullah says that you will look after the home front and Ali will go out. And you are making this type of statements, this is a direct insult to the integrity of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he wasted such a treasure of human resources. Inni anastu naral la'alli atikum minha biqabasin. Then the second lesson, so as he approaches the fire and he's called out, and it's told to him, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ. Who's calling now is your Rabb, right? So remove your shoes. So by now Musa alayhi salam is convinced that this is Allah Ta'ala that is speaking. This is just the point where I'm listening to Allah Ta'ala. But it is He that is speaking, like how you got a phone, so if your brother is calling you, says, it's your brother, I'm here, I'm calling. Though physically the brother is not present, but when you talk, this is how you will talk. So I'm your Rabb, and you remove your shoes. Because now you are in a divine presence. You're listening to the word of Allah Ta'ala, that makes the presence divine. Because it's a direct word, direct communication with Allah Ta'ala. So you can imagine now how divine the spot may have been. So it's also impressing upon us that when it's something related to our deen, Quran, Hadith, etc., then we need to show it that level of respect. If we want to be blessed and get something out of it, proportion to the level of respect and muhabbat we show, we also gain and we benefit. Sometimes it is something that is read that we don't understand fully. It doesn't mean if we don't understand, then we aren't benefiting. Those that say that what's the use of reciting the Quran Sharif when you don't understand the content, then actually what they want is they want to pull it out of circulation. They want to remove the Quran Sharif totally from the face of the earth. Because before you get to understand, then you must be able to read. Then you'll get to understand. So that's the first step in this whole ladder of progress, that you know, you're acquainted with the words, then you ascend. Right? Well, now that you're saying, no, what's the use of reading it when you don't understand? That means you want to take it out of circulation. So that's, again, a misunderstanding. That understanding has to be corrected. And then I say, proportionate to your love and respect is the benefit that you get. Anything that is deen, is a personality, it's a place, the masjid, where the Quran Sharif is being taught and read, or the persons that are involved, the muazzin, the imam, all these people have to be shown the due respect. Because they are passing on the message of Allah Ta'ala. And anybody that was blessed with a righteous life was on account of his respect, not just the understanding. Now, we have brought it just to the understanding, and we are totally disconcerned about the respect and the love that we need to show to these places. So, the understanding and the progress comes proportionate to the type of respect and love that you show. That was the first lesson shown and taught to Musa alayhi salam as he is being approached divinely. Allah is speaking to him as the first lesson, learn to respect. You hearing the word of Allah Ta'ala, you will hear with respect. You are talking about Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with respect and love. You are reading a book of the Quran Sharif, then with a due respect. It's not a storybook, it's not a fairy tale, it's a word of Allah Ta'ala, then it needs to be shown that level of respect for you to be blessed and for you to be favored by Allah Ta'ala. You understand now who is talking to you. فَخْنَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُحَى. And the third lesson that we learn, Allah Pak says to Musa alayhi salam, we have chosen you, you are amongst our chosen servants, Nabi, so فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُحَى. Listen attentively to the revelation. See that. So for you to benefit from a dini discourse, the requirement is that you listen, and you listen attentively. One is you are listening to something casually. So that's not the requirement. The requirement is that you listen and you listen attentively. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُحَى. So the word of Allah Ta'ala, there will be two things. One is you listen carefully, respect and love. Now when you got all this in place, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will bless you. That you are listening and with respect and love, but you're listening attentively as well, that this is the word of Allah Ta'ala and I need to show it the due respect. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. That this Quran Sharif is definitely going to be a beneficial, it's going to be a benefit, it's going to be beneficial to who? To the person who listens with the attention of the mind, with the presence of the mind. Not just listening, alright, something I have to listen a meal. You're listening with the presence of the mind. It may not be that you are here listening, but your mind is elsewhere. So you listen and listen with the presence of the mind. وَأَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And then the fourth command, after respect and love, listening with attention, then أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And establish namaz for my remembrance. Your namaz and your works, your dini works, will be how much you've got the presence and consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in your mind, in your heart. It's not just a formality you're going through. You're not going through a motion. Standing up, bowing down, going to sajda, it's not a formality. It's the presence of the mind, consciousness. That is Allah Ta'ala's presence that you are standing in. And then what level of respect you need to show, how much must be there, the presence of the mind. أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And then when he talks about namaz, he doesn't say just do your namaz, establish it. So I said earlier that the level of respect that you show, the muhabbat, and you are listening attentively, that's your reward. The hadith says that the one that does miswak before his namaz, the time of wuzu obviously, then his reward is multiplied 70 times. The rest of the jamaat are getting just one sawab, and this person that used the miswak correctly, then his reward is being multiplied 70 times. Again, there's a reward for rabat. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, فِيمَ يَخْتَسِمُ الْمَلَوُ الْأَعْلَى. You know, the higher ranking malaika, what are they focusing on? What are they focusing? What are they disputing about? What are they focusing about? So now, Nabi Sam is indicating to us that if you want some type of an elevation, escalation, then you get your namaz right. But Nabi Sam was then asked, well, we want to know these higher ranking angels and malaika, what is their focus? What is their attention? So three actions were shown. One is isbaghul wudu ala al-makari. You're doing your wudu, you're doing it properly. Whether it's winter or summer, but you're doing it correctly, that means you're not wasting water, and you're seeing that the washing of your limbs are complete, not halfway. Masa is complete, the limbs are washed correctly, without wasting water and without engaging in any type of worldly discourse at the time, understanding that as you are washing your limbs, then your sins are also dripping together with the washing of your limb. So now that's called isbaghul wudu, you're doing it and doing it properly, completely. The second deed for which the malaika are racing, you know, they're racing to see that reward and to take it up to Allah Ta'ala, is kasratul khuta ila al masajid. How much the person frequents the masjid? How many steps is frequenting the masjid? Is coming on foot? Is coming, right? So that's the second thing that the malaika look at, that how much is he frequenting the masjid? See, when you like a person, you like the person's house, then you will frequent. So when you are frequenting the masjid, it's an indication that you have love for Allah Ta'ala. It's an indication that your iman is right. Why? Because you are bonding with Allah Ta'ala, and you are bonding with Allah Ta'ala, therefore you want to be in His house. So that's an indication that your iman is right. It's an indication that your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is also complete and perfect. So one is doing the wuzu right. Number two is then frequenting the masjid. You can do it on foot, then on foot. And the third was intizaru salati ba'da salah. You have done one namaz and you don't have that type of frame of mind, I'm over now. You know, you didn't take it as a burden. Like sometimes it happens, we just have to read our namaz, so just do our namaz. You just want to get over it. So that's not the relationship with the obligation of Allah Ta'ala. Rather, you are waiting now. I've done one namaz, and I'm waiting for the next namaz. I'm finished with one Ramadan, I'm hoping and longing to see the next Ramadan, and how well I will do my next Ramadan, where my failures and the areas that I need to correct, I will improve in the next Ramadan. So now this type of person shows that his heart is right. His heart is with Allah Ta'ala. His heart is in fulfillment, his obligations. His heart is in the house of Allah Ta'ala. So now this person's reward is tremendous, phenomenal. Can't even explain the level of his reward. But he's doing his wudu right, and then he's doing his namaz right, and he's frequenting the masjid. Doing the namaz right, not doing the postures right, not looking around, not fidgeting around, and also not deliberately allowing the mind to wander. When his thoughts come involuntary, you'll be marked for that, but voluntarily you don't allow your mind to wander around. So these are the things that the malaika are racing for. وَأَنَ اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And then the last note, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا. So Qiyamah is approaching and my plan is to keep it concealed. لِتُجْزَى. Why? That every soul can be rewarded according to its strive. In the measure of your striving and endeavor, that's going to be your reward. Furthermore, in Abul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi, the last Hazrat Ji used to say, Jitna joan karega, wahi paega. How much you will do, you will see it on the end, at the other end. You can't expect someone else to do for you. You have to work for yourself. The more you do, the more you work, you value your time, use it correctly with the mashwara of your elders, then you will see that you derive that type of benefit. But now you procrastinate or do it then when I'm of age. Perhaps you don't see that time, and perhaps you're preoccupied in other businesses and it doesn't allow you to dedicate yourself. So the time that you've got now, every second, every moment is precious. Value that. How much you will do, that is how much you will earn. But that is subject to you being convinced of the coming of the Qiyamah. Qiyamah, and that's where you're going to get the reward. So don't expect to get rewards here. Do Allah Pak will look at you favorably here as well. But the actual rewards come in the hereafter. So that is why you see our elders have prepared a special kitab, Fazail Amal, just to show what is going to be the reward in the hereafter. You do this, and this is the reward. You do your namaz correctly, this is the reward. You do your rozas correctly, and this is the reward. So then the request is then, we do this kitab so we know, all right, this is the value. I'm doing this, and this is the reward. We don't have the attitude that, no, I'm just doing it for love. That's a farce, that is just a bluff, right? Because if you are offered, say, 40,000 in one place, and the other person is offering you, say, 100,000, obviously you're going to go where you see the perks to be better. So you can't say that you're working for love. You won't want to see the rewards. So if small little material things you're looking for rewards, then things of the akhirat beyond your perception, right? Can you take it lightly? Everybody say, I'll reward you like this. You do it like this, I'll reward you like this. Then we need to be anxious. And to create this anxiety and this enthusiasm, then we need to make ta'lim of these kitabs, whether it's Fadail Amal, Fadail Sadaqat, or Fadail Durood Sharif. And we know how to shape and how to design our lives. Allah grant us tawfiq.